Let's once again look to God as we start our study this morning. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed time that you've given us together to sit before your word. Pray that the Spirit of God may open our heart, our understanding to understand the truth from thy word, and especially as we are looking at the cross, help us to understand its practical applications in our spiritual life, that we may more be like Lord Jesus as we live in this world. Bless this time, we ask this in the most precious name of Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, we are starting on a new topic series based on the four epistles of Apostle Paul, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And basically, we want to focus on a certain aspect of our Lord Jesus Christ from each of these epistles and try to understand how it can be applied to our spiritual life. You know, how we can connect the theme that is associated with the Lord Jesus Christ and find it practical applications in our spiritual life. And so to begin with, today we will look at the epistle of Galatians. And the theme that I want to put over the study today is the cross of Christ. And as we look at it, I also want to look at what it means to us. You know, what the Christ of the cross, how we can apply it in our spiritual life. Now, the desire of the Lord or God is for us to grow in Him, right? To be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at these four epistles, we see certain aspects of our Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the cross of Christ, the fullness of Christ, the mind of Christ, the throne of Christ. And the scripture or Apostle Paul presents these themes to us so that we can understand it and we can find applications in our spiritual life. So today we will look at the cross. As we know, as we look at the scripture, the cross of Christ, or the cross, is the dominating theme in the scripture. So if you look back into the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, it's covered with either pictures or prophecies or things related to the cross. And we see from Genesis to Revelation is completely occupied with this wonderful theme of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the scripture is not just hiding the death of Lord Jesus Christ as something that is bad, but is the dominant theme in the scripture. So that is very important for us to understand. Now, when we think about the people of this world, you know, who had a great life, there are a lot of things. When you like an autobiography or something, there are a lot of things concerning their life, and they don't want to talk about their death, right? That's the kind of laws for them. But as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, death of Lord Jesus Christ is something great, right? Something, you know, that we all can look forward to, something that we can relate. So when we look at the scripture, we see the theme of the cross. The Old Testament figures and types and the prophecies, and the psalmist talks about the feelings of the cross, and we have the Gospels gives us the facts about the cross, and the epistles talks about the meaning of the cross, and the Revelation is looking forward for the cross. And now we know all these things that is being dominated in the scripture. So it's a wonderful thing for us to look into the cross of life. So that's what I'm going to look at from the epistle of Galatians. So this is just an outline of what we are going to look at this morning. Firstly, I want to look at a verse that focuses on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is Galatians 3:1. then I want to, and I selected three references, which sort of gives us an area where we can apply it, the cross of Christ, in our spiritual life. So the first thing that we see, the verse that I have put forth, is Galatians 3:1. It says, "All foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." So it's a very powerful verse. We know that the book of Galatians generally deals with the doctrinal issues and between the law and grace and things like that. But as Apostle Paul communicates that truth to the believers in Galatia, he also brings before them some of the practical applications. So I just want to look at not the doctrinal truths concerning this, but just some of the practical applications that we find in this chapter just associated with the cross of Christ. So we look at this verse about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also looking at practically, you know, how the cross can transform a believer's life. So Apostle Paul is talking about himself, what the cross did to him. So Galatians 2:20, a very familiar verse, talks about, "I am crucified, the self is crucified." Then Galatians 5:24 talks about crucifying the flesh. The flesh is crucified. And finally, Galatians 6:14 talks about, "The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." So these are the three practical areas that we are going to look at. So let's come back to Galatians 3:1. As we look at this, you know, he addresses the believers as, "Oh, foolish Galatians." You know, they are foolish enough to yield themselves to the teachings of false teachers. Right? So they are so foolish. You know, they have heard the gospel. They know the truth. Apostle Paul has communicated the truth. And they know it. But there came along false teachers, and they were foolish to listen to the teachings of the false teachers. And he uses this word, bewitched. Bewitched you. Or hypnotize you. Maybe Brother Van could explain that later in the discussion. So it's a unique word, as I understand. It bewitched you, influenced by magic, arts, or charm. Instead of using their own reasoning or discernment, right? Or making the right judgment, they were just, you know, pulled into it, or hypnotized into it to believe. And the third expression that which I want to focus here concerning the cross, it says that before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. Evidently set forth, or graphically presented. It's just like a painting, a portrayal of portrayed in a way that everyone can see, right? So the death of Lord Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul has very well, eloquently presented the truth of the cross of Christ, and that's the major theme of this epistle, right? It all starts from looking at that cross, the wonderful picture of the cross. And if you miss that beauty of the cross, everything else, you know, will not come together, right? So Apostle Paul is saying that the cross of Christ is evidently set forth, is wonderfully portrayed, it is graphically presented in a way that all of the believers can understand and relate. In other words, Apostle Paul is taking these believers back to the cross of Christ, right? That's where they began their Christian life, Christian journey. And he's taking them back to that point when he wonderfully presented the cross and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the message was clearly given to them. And in spite of knowing this truth, they have deviated from the truth, right? So, in other words, they have lost the sight of the cross, right? They took away their eyes from the cross, and that led to their downfall, or that took away from the truth and realities of the Scripture. So it is important for the believers to look at the cross. So that's what I just want to present before all of us is, you know, we need to have that view of the cross. Once we lose the sight of the cross, once we lose the details of the cross or different aspects of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can be distracted. We can be bewitched. We can be drawn into other false doctrines. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is central to our belief, and our focus should be on it. So it's not only instrumental in our salvation. The cross continued to shape our spiritual life. So it will continue to have a great influence upon our spiritual life. So we need to have that picture of cross fresh in our mind to keep us going. And that's what I believe Apostle Paul was trying to present before the believers in chapter 3, verse 1. No, exalting the cross, talking about the greatness of the cross so that can understand the truth and they can relate to his teaching. So the cross, no, I don't want to get into the details. Because of the cross, they have the Spirit. They have received the Holy Spirit by faith. They have received the blessings of Abraham. They are all baptized into Christ. So there are all these blessings came into their life because of the cross. And that's where they started. And they need to adhere to the truth of the cross in order for them to be successful. So that's about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will look into the applications as we go. So, Brother Wilson has done a great illustration about the cross of Lord Jesus Christ, and what the focus in this picture is: Christ and the cross. And that's what, that's what the book of Galatians is trying to tell us: to focus on the cross, focus on the risen Lord. And it's a wonderful picture: the empty tomb and the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, wonderfully or graphically presented. He's risen. And thank you, Wilson, for this picture. Now, let's look at the first instance or first application of the cross. The very familiar verse from Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, the first thing is, I am crucified. I am crucified with Christ. So, Christ crucified, and I am also crucified with Christ. And so, I just want to take your attention to Romans chapter 6, which talks about our past and our present in terms of flesh, self, and let's look into what Apostle Paul presents there. So let's look at the past. So I should include verse 1 as well there. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? So in the past, we were continuing in sin. And God forbid, so it says that, no, God forbids we should not continue in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we are dead to sin. The past, we were living in sin, but because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we died with Christ, we are dead to sin, and we no longer live in sin. Then he continues to use certain expressions to show the uniqueness of dying with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism and into death. We are buried with him. It's clear. And we are baptized. We are, you know, immersed into his death. And we are buried with him. And it says that our present, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should live or walk in the newness of life. So by the application of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ or the cross, now we were buried with him, we are baptized with him, we are risen with him, and our responsibility now is to walk in the newness of life. So applying the cross, or applying the fact that I died, the old man. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. So we were planted together. It's like, you know, sowing a seed. You plant, that seed dies, and presently we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So he, as he was risen from the dead, we are also raised spiritually with him. Our old man is dead. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So it became more and more clear what it means to die with Christ. The old man, the self, is crucified. And sin must be completely destroyed. Right? So that's the purpose of it. Sin must be completely destroyed. And our responsibility now is henceforth we should not serve sin. So cross becomes powerful in our life. We, you know, we are crucified with Christ. The old man is completely dead. That all, we should not revive the old man in our spiritual life. And we should not serve sin. So it continues. Verse 7, for he that is dead, that's the past, and is freed from sin. And verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, at our present, we believe that we shall also live with him. So we are living with our Christ because we were dead, our sin, I mean, the old man is crucified with him, but now we live in Christ. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So everything, you know, gets changed here. Coming back to verse 2, sin is no longer the way of life, right? So we are not serving sin. There is a clear distinction between the old and new. Right, so it's nothing common between. So there is either old or new. So we are asked to live in the new. Verse 4 talks about the newness of life. There is progress. There is growth. Verse 5, we are identified with Christ in his resurrection. It's a new life. Verse 6 talks about the priorities are going to change. From serving sin, we serve God. And verse 10, it's a purpose-driven life to fulfill the desires of God. So there's a clear change between the old and the new, right? So our priorities, our purpose, and our way of life, everything gets changed. And that's what happens, you know, when the self dies, when the old man dies. And as we move, you know, Apostle Paul looks into his own past life that was dark and sinful and unprofitable. Even in this first chapter, he talks about his past. Verse 13, Galatians 1:13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So that was his past. Now, there was nothing to glory. I mean, he can glory in that setting of the his religion, because that was his glory prior to his conversion. But we see there is a change. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And he clearly states the purpose of his calling, right? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen immediately and confer not with flesh and blood. How is he going to reveal the son in him? How is he going to reveal Christ? He has to be more like Christ. So, himself, which talked about his tradition, religion that he believed, that need to be crucified, that need to die in order for Christ to be seen in him. So his desire clearly states in verse 16, to reveal his son in me. And that's the purpose of God calling us. And that will only happen when the self is crucified. When that, you know, when those things that attached to our past, which did not bring glory to God, that need to be completely crucified, you know, so that Christ may be revealed in him. So Apostle Paul truly recognized the calling of God. What was his purpose? To reveal the Son in him. So he wanted to reveal the fact that he died. And he says that Christ liveth in me. And also talks about his past, not only what he did, but you know what he was. Verse 2:19, for I, through the law, I am dead to the law. So he was serving the law, but you know, he died to the law so that he could live unto God. So he's detached himself from that binding with the law by dying with Christ. And now he's a new man, risen with Christ. Now he's associated with Christ himself. And that's what he continues to explain in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. So it's a very powerful statement. He said, verse 30, he says, beyond measure I persecuted church. No, he truly understood the extent he which went to persecute the church, and it was not profitable. And thus, things that he did, he completely crucified everything of his past. The old man is crucified. And he says that after his conversion, Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. So that he can reveal Christ to the world. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's true that Christ is living in him, and it can only be possible when he lives by faith in Christ. Without faith, he cannot live. Christ cannot live in him. So he has to first, he has to rely on the resurrection of Christ, the power of resurrection. It says, Christ liveth in me. So the old man or the self died, and he's risen now. And he's going to live by the resurrection power of Lord Jesus Christ. Christ liveth in me. And second thing, he is resting in the faith of the risen Christ. I live by faith of the Son of God. So what's going to equip him, what's going to give him strength, power, is the faith that he's going to have upon the Son of God, living by faith. And that's what, you know, God expects us of when he says, you know, crucify the self. The old man is crucified so that his Son may be revealed to the world through us. And what hinders Christ revealing to the world is ourself, right? So Apostle Paul was doing everything prior to his conversion, everything that would prevent Christ to be revealed, right? He was suppressing that. But once he self was died, now Christ began to, the world could see Christ coming out of him through his actions, through his words, and that's what, you know, God expects us to live expressing Christ. Now let's move to the second aspect of the crucifixion of Christ. It talks about chapter 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the for the affections and lusts. So just like there was the distinction between the old man and the new man, there's also a distinction between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. And we know that flesh and spirit are contrary to each other, right? Flesh wants to dominate spirit, right? And we need to let the spirit dominate the flesh. So they are contrary to each other. There's a clear distinction between the flesh and the spirit, just like the old and the new man. So just looking at some of the verses from Romans chapter 5, which talks 8, which talks about the flesh and the spirit. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." So there's a distinction there. So the mind of a believer who has crucified the flesh is filled with the things of the spirit. What dominates or what saturates our mind or mind of a believer should be the things of the spirit, because a believer has crucified the flesh. And verse 8, "For to be carnally minded is death." So flesh will lead to death, right? The judgment of God is upon them. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, our mind will be filled with things related to the life, eternal life, and peace, and peace with each other. And so there's also a clear distinction there. And verse 7 to 12, you know, there are a lot of things which talks about the carnal mind. It's enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God. And very important statement there in verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. So in other words, if you are in spirit, you can please God, right? And it says, talks about the spirit, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. So when the flesh is crucified, the Spirit of God comes into our heart and indwells in our heart, and also talks about what our responsibilities. Chapter verse 12. Only read that portion. It talks about the Spirit, But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, you know, mortify the deeds of the body or the flesh. And we are led by the Spirit of God. So, walking in the Spirit and minding things that are concerning the Spirit. And so that would lead us into the portion that we were looking at in Galatians chapter 5. There also it talks about a clear distinction between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And it's very clear, and we know there is a clear distinction between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And we are encouraged to produce the fruit of the Spirit, because, and it will only happen when we have this practical application of the cross of Christ, when the flesh is crucified, right? So as long as there is flesh, there is a tendency to fulfill or do the works of the flesh. So flesh must be crucified, and when the flesh is crucified, we are led by the Spirit, and that will produce. Let me read verse Galatians 5:18. But if we be led of the Spirit, we are not under the law. So we know that the Spirit of God indwells in our heart, and not only that, we should allow the Spirit of God to lead us, right, to do His job, so that, you know, we can produce the fruit of the Spirit. And we know about this fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And verse 16 says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. So it's a positive effort that we have to do, right? We have to walk. And if we walk in the Spirit or be guided by the Spirit, we will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Then verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I think this is the second application of the Spirit. Applicants of the cross, in that the flesh is crucified and we let the Spirit control our life to produce fruit of the Spirit. Now let's come to the last part about the cross. That is, the world is crucified. Chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So, this is the third aspect of the application of the cross in a believer, and which is the world is crucified, which is living in the glory of the cross as a new creature. It talks about a new creature in verse 15, a new ordinance, a new relationship. So, So let's look at what was our relationship to the world in the past before we got saved, right? There are a couple of verses that I presented here. Galatians 4:3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So we were under the bondage of the world. Verse Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we were walking according to the course of this world. So we were just following its path. So wherever that world took us, we were prepared to go along with that, and that was our past. And what the death of our Lord Jesus Christ has done is it has delivered us, as we see from Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So, presently, the death of Lord Jesus Christ has released us from the bondage of sin. He has set us free, gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the influence of the world. And as he has delivered us, it is our responsibility to detach ourselves from that influence, right, as we live in this world. There's a lot of resistance, right, to keep us in the world under its influence.
There's a lot of what?
Lot of influence or a lot of pressure from the world to, suppress us or keep us into the system of the world. 2 Peter 2:20 talks about, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. So they have escaped, the believers that have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, but they are again entangled therein. So they are not able to move forward. The world is pulling them back. And there's a few more references there. James 4:4 talks about the friend of the world is the enmity of God. So then also 1 John 2:16, we looked at it a couple of weeks back in our study. That is very, very clearly defined to us, the world. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and is not of the Father, but of the world. So whatever is not of the Father is of the world. And those things are temporal. And we need to be, we need to detach ourselves from those things. And Romans 12:2, that we looked sometime earlier, be not conformed to this world, to its standard, to its system. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 16, ye are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So the Lord Jesus Christ clearly tells disciples that they are not of the world, as Lord Jesus Christ is not of the world. And there are a lot of challenges there to bring us into the system of the world. And as far as Apostle Paul was concerned, he has two choices, right? There was the world and there was the cross. Which one he's going to choose? Is he going to be closer to the world, or is he going to be closer to the cross? And to be closer to the cross, it brings sufferings, it brings reproach, it brings, world is going to be, you're going to be hated by the world because you are forsaking the world, you are being closer to the cross, and you have to give a price. Which one are you going to choose? And Apostle Paul clearly states that as far as he's concerned, world is crucified, right? There is a separation. There is a separation from the world, and he's not going to follow the system or the values of the world. He's going to choose cross and its value. It talks about the abundance of grace that we see in the cross, the perfect obedience, the love of God, and that perfect devotion of the Son to the Father. So these are the wonderful things that are associated with the cross. And that's what Apostle Paul wanted to adhere to, that he wanted to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us there on the cross of Calvary. So he's not going to accept the values of this world. He's not going to compromise with this world to diminish the glory of the cross. So, you know, even if persecution or reproach, anything comes at him, he's willing to take it so that he can glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So just to conclude, the application of the cross in terms of crucifying ourself, the old man, the flesh, and the world. These are contrary to our spiritual growth. And what we're going to choose, you know, will decide our standing with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the hymn that we sang early, the first hymn talks about, I take, O cross, your shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his grace. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss, my sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. Cross is our glory. We're going to let the world go by. All its charms are temporal. And the flesh, you know, cannot please God in the flesh. And we need to crucify ourselves. So may we really apply these practical applications or features of the cross in our spiritual life so that we can reveal his Son. We may have the same desire of Apostle Paul to reveal Christ through our life. May the Spirit of God continue to help us and guide us. Thank you all.